Good morning.
It is really great to see everybody, and I really have enjoyed most of the messages. It was funny because during whatever that was Kevin did this morning, Russell kind of leans over to me and he says, "I can kind of see why Brenda and Marsha are rethinking about having children." Yeah, it's a thought, isn't it? I'm really excited that you're here. I am excited to have this slot. Brother Jay sent me a text. Mary Jo read it to me. And it said, characteristics of the king. Now, you know, in America, we kind of don't like kings. You know, it's in our history. We kind of rebel against kings. So I think sometimes we don't have a real good perspective of kingship. It's not as though with the king there is a balance of power. The king is the king. Well, I think we've done a wonderful job of talking about how we are seated with Christ in glory. And that's true, amen? But it's going to make all the difference in the world if we know who Christ is or not. See, I need to know who it is I am seated by. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 21... I'm going to begin reading a pretty familiar passage here. Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to begin at verse 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did what Jesus said. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, already we are anticipating coming around the table with the King. Father, a dinner date we look forward to. Help us, Father, to be able to follow the example of the disciples and to do exactly as you have commanded. Father, to focus our minds, to renew our minds on the King of Glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. My king was born a king. The Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. That's a racial king. We are a race of people. He's the king of Israel, a national king. He's the King of righteousness. The King is the King of ages. He is the King of heaven. And He is the King of glory. My King is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen?
Amen.
Now that's my King. That's our King. Do you know Him? I mean, really know Him? I mean, not just know about Him, but do you know Him? David said that the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows His handiwork. My King is the only one whom there is no means to measure His limitless love. We can measure, and you can talk to Reese more about this, we can measure down to the smallest, to the smallest, to the smallest, but there is nothing that can measure the immeasurable amount of God's love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility His infinite care and supply. No barriers can hinder Him from pouring out His blessings on His people. Amen?
Amen?
My King is enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And He's impartially merciful. Do I have to tell you to say amen every time? My King can take care of hecklers. My King is the sinner's Savior. My King is the centerpiece of salvation. He stands alone in Himself. He is honest. He is unique. He is unparalleled. And my King is unprecedented. My King is the greatest idea in literature. He is the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of proven theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my King.
Amen.
He's the miracle of the age, the superlative of everything good that you choose to call Him. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted. And He sympathizes and He saves. He's strong and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate and He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent and beautifies the meek.
Amen.
Do you know Him?
Yes.
I mean, do you really know Him?
Amen.
Well, my King is the King of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. My King is the doorway of deliverance, the pathway of peace, and the roadway to righteousness. Yeah. Did you get him? You know, I really was thinking, this morning I am going to preach a serious message, you know? Our King is the King of Kings. Our King is the Master of the Mighty. He is the Captain of the Conquerors. Our King is the Head of the Heroes. He is the Leader of the Legislatures. He's the Overseer of the Overcomers. He's the Governor of Governor, and He's the Prince of Peace. That's my King. Brethren, as well has been pointed out, His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient, and His reign is righteousness. His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. I wish I could describe Him to you. I do. But brother, He is indescribable. I mean, He really is indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible, and he's irresistible. I tell you this morning, the heavens cannot contain Him. Let alone some man begin to explain Him. You can't get Him out of your mind. You can't get Him off of your hands. You can't outlive Him. And you can't live without Him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand Him. And they found out they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him. The grave couldn't hold Him. That's my King. That's my King. That's who it is. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Well, we had some pretty good discussions around about political power. About the power of the gold standard. About United Nations power. But brethren, I'm here to tell you, in this kingdom, it is God's power. Amen. Thine is the power. Yeah, thine is the glory. And we try to get glory and honor and prestige for ourselves, but all the glory is His. Thine is the glory, the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. How long is that? It's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And after all the evers, amen and amen. Amen. Now, we begin to understand that our King rules over a kingdom not made with hands. Let me ask you. You're all very participatory in saying amen. Now, you know what amen means? I agree. Let it be so. What kind of kingdom do you think a king like that would produce? Now, why do you think that we find it so important to elect in our country godly leaders to office? You think that electing godly leaders might have something to do with producing a godly populace? So do you think if we understand the attributes of King Jesus that that might have something to do with a godly kingdom? Would you agree that our King is perfect? In every shape, in every way, in every manner, in every form, and in every method? Is that your King? Now I got you scared to say amen, don't I? I don't know if I don't agree with this guy or not, you know. Well, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Another familiar scripture. And a familiar verse. First Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Has the perfect kingdom come? How does the kingdom operate? We know the attributes of the King. But how does this kingdom then, from the attributes of the King, operate? I'm going to go through these a little quicker. But to the adulteress, our King said, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. A decree from the King. John chapter 5 and verse 14, Jesus said, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more. For fear that something worse may happen to you. Now, that something worse that may happen to you is called hell. That's what we call it back in Ohio. Pretty close to Butte. From what I understand. Sin no more is the edict from the King. The King shows and knows how to free his subjects from sin. He's my King. Any other weasel-worded idea that pretends that it is impossible to be freed from sin is treason. Treason against the King. There's no trial, there's no tribunal, and we're not going to go back to ground zero. It's treason. The King says, sin no more. Repent or perish. That's my king. Is that your king? Amen?
Amen.
1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. He who sins is of the devil, the enemy. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Listen. For this purpose, the Son of God, the King, was manifested. That he might destroy the works of the devil. There are no wars won by waving a magic wand. There are no battles that are really fought on Nintendo. That's not real. I mean, I have no breaking it to you, some of the kids. It's not. Yeah. This is real blood and guts, life and death. And he did not come to save us in our sins. But the war is that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, who do you think he's going to do that through? Some kind of magic that happened on the cross? Or does it become real in the kingdom? See, we're given the opportunity from the blood of the King to really carry this out. Amen?
Yes.
Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God, Savior, Jesus Christ, the King, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed, and look, and purify for Himself His own special people zealous for good works, subjects of the King." See, it's imperative not only to know that I've been raised up and seated with Him in glory, but I had better be sure that I know who I'm seated by. See, this can't be me-o-centric. This has to be King-o-centric. For He, the King, 1 Peter says, He who called you is holy, so be holy in your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." Now, I don't know. I don't know how we can believe all that stuff about the King that I talked about in the first place, but believe that somehow He's not powerful enough to do what He said.
Right.
Luke chapter 1 and verse 74. Stating a grand purpose. Luke chapter 1 and verse 74, "To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him, the King, without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our lives." is the king. This is the kingdom. We are subjects of the most magnificent king who sits upon the throne and is able. So, we be able? Amen!
Amen.
We be able?
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. For by one offering, he, the king, has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. This kingdom has a purpose to seek and save the lost, and when they are brought into the kingdom, to be subjects of the king, in other words, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Walking in the newness of life because we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. There is a difference of our heritage in where we come from. Who the king is, and my mindset about who the king is, influences my walk, my talk, my every action in regards to the king. You're not from around here, are you? See, we're not. We're not from around here. Aliens and strangers. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. That you might put on the new man, which was created according to God, the King, in true righteousness and holiness. That you might put on the new man, which was created according to God, according to the King, in true righteousness and holiness. Is God powerful enough? Is the King powerful enough not to make an edict that that's the way it's going to be in the land and then pretend like it's so? Or is He willing and is He able to command His subjects? Are we His subjects? Has He put upon us something that is impossible to carry out? Absolutely not. See, He has put upon us something that He has given us the power to carry out. Because He's not some distant king that sits on the throne. Brethren, He is in the temple, the living stones. Oh, the King. How do I approach the King? It makes a difference when the king lives here, doesn't it? It makes a difference when the king is not long ago and far away. See, some people want to keep him long ago and far away because they're a lot more comfortable there. Because in the presence of God, somebody was exactly right. And if I wasn't afraid of breaking a hip, I'd fall right down too. See? Presence of God, you know, put you right on the deck. And it is about worship. It is the overarching issue. Because when you know the King, you're not even going to peek. See, you're not even going to peek because you're going to be so surrendered to Him that nothing else matters. That's a great question. Even though it's an impossible question, like a tree falling in the forest, you know, nobody here. But if the church went belly up tomorrow, what would you lose? Brethren, if you know the King, the answer would be everything. There is no other purpose to life. First Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. So that He, the King, may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of His saints. See, if all God was going to do was on that last day say, "Oh, shucks, I was just kidding. Everybody, come on in." You know, and why would He go to all this trouble? And if we have even the inkling of an idea that we serve some kind of a puss of a king who's a lion on the outside and a coward on the inside who's going to say and bow to public pressure, "Well, you know, you did some good things. Come on now, I was just kidding about all this stuff." And we don't know who the King is. And you know what? In this kingdom, if you don't know who the King is, then you've got no citizenship. You are dwelling in the domain of darkness. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness." Romans chapter 6 and verse 22 says, "Now having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life." Having been set free from sin. Not free in sin. We have become warriors to put sin to death. And we have been sent into the battlefield to do exactly that. To walk in the light as He is in the light and to have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ the King cleanses us from all sin. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Brethren, there's a difference between this kingdom and the counterfeit creations of the enemy. Satan is not only a liar, he's a wonderful counterfeiter. And through the ages, you will find that he has always tried to come up with some counterfeit way that wants to mimic, you see, what God has done, but falsely, see. And he hasn't needed to change tactics in all of human existence. The same tactic is still working today. You see, that Satan counterfeits a kingdom that runs parallel to the real kingdom. And yet, neuters the King. The King, brethren, in many of places where I've been, has no clothes. Because he has no power. They deny the power of God to be able to create anew within the heart of man because their hearts are so wicked that they will not give that up. It is a creation, a kingdom that runs parallel to the kingdom of Christ. Good people? Sure. They're not citizens. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. No, obviously, some people are harder to love than others.
Amen.
After what I realize, what the King of Glory, what the King of Kings, what the indescribable King of the universe has done for me, and then I would go out and beat a fellow servant? Jesus said, as I'm sure you're well aware, therefore be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, a lot of rationalizations have been proposed. And you've probably heard them. Well, he really didn't mean perfect. Yet he says to be perfect like God is perfect. And that's a definitive clarification of perfect. He didn't say be perfect like unfinished perfect. I said be perfect like God is perfect. It pretty much defines this thing. And you've heard the rat. It is humanly impossible to be perfect. Bingo. Without the supernatural changing power of the King, it is impossible. But do you believe that the King is that powerful to work through a slime bucket like you? Amen. You believe that the King is powerful enough to take a slime bucket like you and turn him into the righteousness of Christ Jesus? Is your King really the King that we described? And see, if he is that powerful. Then listen and obey. Jesus the King wants to change us to be like Himself. We crucify our sinful spirit of selfishness and He replaces it with His. One command at a time, we hear the King speak and we obey. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Brethren, the King wants to establish a kingdom. He doesn't want to just sign a bunch of people up. He's got a purpose for the kingdom to carry out. time, some of us left boot camp. It's not much of an army if the majority of the army stays in boot camp. Now, boot camp is to get you ready to go fight the war. Sometimes, I'm sure none of us, but sometimes our drama becomes so encompassing that we never get out of boot camp because we never quit working on those things that we need to keep doing the same calisthenics because we keep eating the same sticks of butter every night. Well, that's the way it works, see? It's time some of us put our big boy pants on and decide a boot camp is over. And if this world is going to be won, it's going to take your blood and sweat and tears, leaving the elementary teachings of things behind and walking in the newness of life. And I guarantee you, in this corrupt, dark world, somebody's going to notice. Because I guarantee you, unless you live in a bubble, this world is dark enough that it doesn't take a whole lot of light for people to say, there's something different there. Well, brethren, it ain't this little light of mine. It's this 10 million, billion, gazillion, megawatt light of mine. Because He's the King. And that's where the power comes from. You see, there was a big difference last night when the power was here and when the power went out. And we were so thankful this morning and kind of took it for granted when the power was restored. Well, I'm not too sure sometimes that the Candle Maker Guild couldn't make a pretty good living in some of our churches. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Be watchful and strengthen the thing. And I'm sure you've heard it that the church is the only army that shoots its wounded. Yeah, you know, sometimes, this is great. This backdrop, and I kind of think we need to put things like this so that we focus on, but I had a boss one time that had a little sign in his office that said the beatings will continue until morale improves. I'm not sure that some of our churches were a little more truthful. That wouldn't be. Yeah. We got to do more than impart knowledge. Knowledge is the basis. And this knowledge is complete. This knowledge is truthful. But without these conduits, without these subjects, Without the wisdom to carry that knowledge out in a compassionate way and to look like Jesus, then our attitude in the church is either, hey, look, either get it or go to hell. You'll find this hard to believe. But not everybody is as smart as I am. So some people are going to take a little more time to teach etiquette. To teach discretion. And some people are going to take a little more time to mature. And you have to be patient with those brethren. You have to continue to love them, nurture them. And it can't be my way or the highway, because, you know, if it was my way, he would be gagged and hogtied. And I got to tell you, I do believe that that method would be reproducible. And could be carried out in every one of our churches. Because you've got one every place you go. And I'm not so sure that that methodology would not work in some instances. But. That's right. I'm not in charge. And I don't get to make those kind of things. Because the way the kings treated me, I need to be patient with other people. See, a disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Jesus said the disciple is not above his master, but everyone who is perfect, who is purified, who is restored to the image of God, who is specifically authorized and perfected, will be like his master. We are called to be replicas of the King. Now, if the description in the first part of the presentation, if that's who we really serve, then that's who we are going to amplify to the world around us. And we cannot be one-dimensional. You know, sometimes we're one-dimensional because we're too lazy to expand our horizons. I'm not naturally funny. I have to work at it.
Don't stop working.
Yeah. Don't quit your day job. Well, it's true. See? There are things that do them that way because I'm comfortable with doing that. But look, Jesus, and then I'll quit. Remember the statement, don't try to take the speck out of your brother's eye until you remove the beam from your own. And then when you get the beam out of your own eye by being perfect, you can clearly see how to remove the speck from your brother's. The reason for this purification process is not so that we are superior, but so that we can help our brethren. Don't ever make the mistake that the purification process is something like Moses coming down off of the mountain saying, hey boys, look what I did to my face. Another thing I've stole, well, I've stole most of my stuff from Mr. Wilson, but, you know, Moses didn't have anything to do with it. God did that. God's doing a work in you. Allow Him to do that. Quit resisting that. He wants us purified so we can help our brothers. But until then, perhaps we're more blind than the people we're trying to help. Who's in worse shape? A guy with a beam in his eye or a guy with a speck in his eye? Remove the beam from your eye until so that you can help your brother remove the speck from his. I want to help your brother. It's like Stan's boating story. Here, let me help you. Yeah, you'll drown us both. But it's only when Christ, see, gets involved that we can remove that speck. Only after we have been readjusted, restored, perfected, set to right, authorized, then we can help. Otherwise, often we harm those that we attempt to correct. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Second Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. Finally, I get smiles every morning when I say that, you know. Every Sunday morning, you know, when I say, finally. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete, mature, perfected. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. That's my King.